So we're in the book of Numbers, Hebrews 13, Numbers 13. Hebrews 13 is not a bad chapter either. It's a good one. So today we're going to be talking about the children of Israel. As we open up to the book of Numbers, at this point in time in life, God is moving the children of Israel. He's moving them into the promised land. He just got done setting them free from Egypt. But there was a purpose there. He brought them out of trials. He brought them out through the Red Sea. And he helped them escape the Egyptians. They're right on the verge of entering the promised land. So they're just sitting there trying to get in. But there's something that God wants them to see. He wants them to see, and he wants them to go in and possess the promised land. And here, chapter 13, I am going to say this right now off the bat. There's a lot of big words in here, so we're going to let the Holy Spirit take over them, and I'm signing a disclaimer as we speak right now. Because I did learn English as a second language. But I was telling John earlier this morning, I said, man, John, I should have let you do this one right here. These are the big words. But God, with God's help, he will provide. First one reads like this. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each Ancestor tribe, send one of its leaders. See, at this point in time, there was 12 tribes. And there was 12 leaders. So these guys were, out of every tribe, there was a really strong leader. These guys were the cream of the crop. There were, if we had a bunch of teams, and we told them to send your best guy, that's what they would usually do. And they were sending the best person, the best leader, their top gun, to go into the land. They were sending them out to explore. They wanted to go to look to see what God was promising. So they were going inside, about to explore. And I know for some of us growing up, some of us wanted to explore things. When I was a kid, I always loved to go into Misha, going into things and just exploring, running around and seeing new things. And I got really excited about it. And so, the Lord wanted them to see a bigger thing. He wanted to see them great. He wanted them to see the great things that God was promising. And see, the Lord here, he was telling them to go. He was telling them to go and see things that they'd never seen before. And so, at this point, they were being obedient. So and we go in verse 3, and it says, so as the Lord commanded Moses, sent them out of the desert of Paran, all of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are all their names. So here he identifies all their names in the next few chapters, in the next few sentences, but we're not going to go over that at that time. We're going to skip through that, and we're going to let you guys read those if you like. But it's important. As a leader, it's really important to be the best leader that you can, because a leader has a lot of influence. A leader is a leader, and they lead a lot of things. So it's important, being a leader, that you are the best leader you possibly can. So these were all chosen people, and they were all the best leaders. And so when we get to the end of the chapter, you'll kind of see why they were so important and why these leaders were. And as we all know, just as we're living in the world today, because we were kind of talking about submitting to authority yesterday. There is good leaders and there is bad leaders. And that's the question for all of us. Let's think about that for a moment. What did God want us to see? What did God want them to see? I mean, God already knew what was in the promised land. God was sending these guys with a purpose. He already knew everything. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew what was in there. But he was sending them with a purpose. And there was something that he wanted to do in the hearts of all these people. There was something that he wanted them to understand, maybe comprehend. There was a lesson that they needed to learn. But as we read the story, we kind of see that they find out that they didn't want to do things God's way. Instead, they wanted to do it their way. And so that's why we titled this message this morning, How Do You See Things? How do you view things? I mean, there's all kinds of perspectives in lives, right? Every issue has a different perspective. But how do we see things? I mean, there's always God's way, and there's always our way. But I'm willing to bet God's way is way better. God wants us to see victory. But like these people, sometimes we view discouragement instead of victory. And we're going to go stroll down to verse 16 after we pass up all those big old names. It says, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hosea, the son of Nam, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through Negev and onto the hill country. So what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many, what kind of land do they live in? So here's God asking all kinds of questions. Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees on it or not? Do you do your best to bring back some of the fruits of the land? It was the season of the first grapes. Here he does something special. He changes the name of one of the men. See, in the Bible, when God changes somebody's name, it's usually for a reason and a purpose. The name Hosea means deliverer. God changed his name from Jehovah, from Hosea to Jehovah is the deliverer. God wanted all of them to see what was about to happen. It wasn't about the ability of all those spies. It was about the ability and the way they relied on God. He wasn't relying on Joshua or Caleb. He wasn't relying on the other spies to find salvation or deliverance for the people. He wanted to change their hearts so they rely on God completely. It was God who delivers. And as people, we got to understand perception. We got to acknowledge it. And we got to recognize it. That God brings deliverance. It is not us. We have a choice when the Lord tells us to do something. We have a choice to believe it or not. He wanted their hearts to change. He wanted their minds to change. Letting them know that they weren't the deliverer. He was. He's the one that set them free. It was God. In the Old Testament, we find out the Hebrew name for Joshua is Jesus. And we think about when Jesus was born, they said, you will name him Jesus because he was the Savior. He was the deliverer. He wants us to see it's not about us, it's not about me. It's about God. He's the one. And there's plenty of times in the Bible God wanted people to see when they couldn't see. I think about the story of the 5,000. He wanted them to see something. He went to Philip and told Philip, "Hey, Philip, feed all these people." And Jesus already knew what was going on, and he knew what was the outcome of it. But here Philip was like, "Jesus, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again, his vision was small. Because it wasn't of God, it was his vision. All he saw was the inability. And he saw the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. All he saw was 5,000 people was impossible to feed. And then we think about the story of Peter. When he walked on water, what did he see? The Bible says when he looked at the waves, what happened? He fell and started drowning because he didn't see the way Jesus saw. Jesus asked him, "Why do you lack faith?" But when he stepped out, at that point in time when he stepped out, he started with a vision of Jesus. But something happened where he lost that and started drowning. As God's people, we need to see things how God wants us to see it. How Jesus wants us to see it. In the long run, it's a powerful. It's to build our faith. It's to give us confidence. It's to build one another. And in reality, God sees it one way. And we as the people see it another way. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and go back to 17 to 22. When Moses sent them to explore Canaanite, he said, "Go up through the Neva and go into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? It is good or bad? What kind of town do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes." So they went up to explore, and the land from the desert of Zin, as far as Rohob, to where Lebo, Hamath, they went up through Neba and came up to Hebron, where Anhim, Shehah, and Tamal, the descendants of Anak, lived. They had been built there 7 years before Zon in Egypt. So he's asking these guys to go see what the land is like. And if we know about the descendants of Anak, they were giant people. So what does the Lord really want them to see? He wanted them to see the lay of the land. And he was preparing for future battles. Because he knew that they were going to go in and fight these people. The Lord wanted to see, for them to see, those giants. The Lord wants us to see reality. The Lord is not afraid. He's not afraid of showing us reality. He's not afraid to go into reality. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that there's no giants. But in the Bible, they show us a lot of reality that there is giants. God shows us the truth. He tells us it's not about us. It's about what he could do. It's about who he is. And the Lord tells him directly, "Go in there and I want you to see those giants." And then there's another story in the Bible about David and the giant. David was the only one that seen through the eyes of Jesus. Everyone else, what they saw was fear. Everybody else saw that they were going to be conquered. But one little boy had the heart of God. What he saw, that they were defying the armies of the living God, and his vision was totally different. The point here is, the way you see things is a huge impact on what you do. Be like David and see it for God. See it with God's eyes. Just put yourself into that situation. What would be your perspective? The Lord wants to fill you with strength. He wants to fill you with courage. He wants you to fill you with the acknowledgement that you are loved and that you can do it. And here's this young boy with a little rock in the sling, and he defeats the giant and drops him to the ground. But he did it in the name of the Lord. We win our battles when we give it to him and put it in his name. So how do you guys see things? Do you see things in... I mean, we all see big cities, right? We see these big cities, and sometimes we see things that are hard to overcome. Do you guys have any giants in your life? But how do you look at it? How do you see it? Because how we see it determines our destiny and what happens next. He also wanted them to see his faithful promise. God has a faithful promise to each one of us. He had for the Israelites, for everybody, he has a faithful promise. And we're called to hold on to that, to grip that, to use it to gain our perspective. As we read verse 23 to 27, here we talk about a report that the spies are bringing back. 23 says, they went up through Negeva, and they came to Hebron, where Ahim, Shaba, and Tahim, the descendants of Anak, lived there. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off the branches bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off them at the end of the 40 days they returned from exploring the lands. So even in this land, there was big grapes. The land that was flowing with milk and honey. The spies were there for 40 days. But yet, in those 40 days, they didn't see it God's way. Because here comes a big but in verse 28. And I'm not saying don't go around using the word but. But when we use the word but, our confidence goes down. We don't have the strength. We don't have the courage. But here Jesus is telling us that we do. We need to start learning how to take the perspective of God. And there was two guys, Joshua and Caleb, that had the perspective of God. The other 10 spies, they didn't. So let's read verse 28 and 29. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. When even Saul descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites lived in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites lived in the hills country, and the Canaanites lived near the sea along the Jordan. Here was these guys given a vision of these people. They were big and powerful. There was a lot of them. But you had two guys that were saying, we could conquer. We have Jesus Christ on our side. But the other two, 10 spies, put God in the back seat. They felt little. They were afraid. They were intimidated. They lacked faith. And I mean, God already knew there was giants in this land. That was nothing new to him, right? He knew that he wasn't worried about those giants. But these people couldn't see past that obstacle. The Lord could. And here we find Caleb. In verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that had explored. They said the land was explored, devoured those things in it. See, here Caleb knew that they could do it. He was like David because he seen it with God's vision. Not his own. And all these men that went up there, they came back with a back report saying, no, we can't do this. We can't go up there. You know, it's out of our perspective. They're too big. There's too many of them. And when we talk about leaders, there's a power of influence. Leaders have the ability to persuade people one way, persuade people the other way. And I see the 10 spies persuading them to go in the fearful way. So they took this report about the land, the obstacles, and they spread it a bad report to all the people. But the Lord did want to see it. He wanted them to see it through his eyes. He wanted them to have a sense of changing their heart. This morning, how do you see things? Some people see the power of the enemy. Some people see the power of God. Some people see fortified cities. Others see a future home. Some people see giants. Others see God. So you got to ask yourself, what do you see? What do you see in your life? And God's not holding anything back. God wants us to see the obstacles. He wants us to see the giants. He's not afraid of them. And he's not afraid to show us. But it is our job to rely on him as he shows us, as we move forward. God could do anything. All we have to do is respond, be obedient, and be willing to listen and go forward. There's something bigger than having the vision of Jesus. It's important that we be like Caleb and Joshua and others in the Bible to chase God's heart. He wants us to see things in His perspective, not in ours. Because when we start thinking, we get in trouble. When we let God do the thinking, He is glorified. So today, my friends, I want you guys to take this story home and think about it. How do you see things? Do we see it God's way? Or do we see it our way? And I know from personal experience, God's way is always better. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I even thank you for the giants in our lives, Lord, this morning, Lord. For I know you've shown to us, Lord, because you want us to show us the bigger picture, that you could conquer them, Lord. And with you, Lord, we're not alone. You lift us up every single day, Father, as you push us forward. And you want us to see the bigger perspective in life, Lord. You want us to see your kingdom ahead of us, Lord. Lord, teach us to be like the two, Joshua and Caleb. As we explore our lives, we explore this land, we explore this world. Give us the eyes to see with your eyes, Father. Give us the heart to beat with your heart. Give us the strength to be able to walk with you, Father. In the midst of anything that goes on, Father, you give us the courage. You continue moving us forward. Because there is no giant that you can't defeat. And we're thankful for the God that you are. We're thankful for the God that you're willing to love us so much, Father. Lord, I pray to you in this name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.